Rolling, okay? And then,
Okay.
John, there's like a break around 9:25, 9:25.
You're listening to Tenacity Radio. Real entertainment, no excuses. Got Paranormal. Paranormal is a talk show based on the integration of shared ideas coming from multiple perspectives within a round table format. Designed to examine assumptions and to expand awareness. Join S.E. Burns and her co-host as they make sure you have got paranormal.
Welcome, everyone. Tonight's guest is John McCary, and our topic, numerology. Joining me tonight are my two co-hosts, Robert J. Bradbury, and our professor of history, Professor Earl Shandmeyer. As usual, if you have any questions, please enter them in the chat room, and we'll do the best to answer them. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you for having me.
We're really excited to have you. I have never even talked about numerology with anyone until I think it was the day after we met through a mutual friend. I think I had said to you, my topic on the Enigma Project, which I'm a co-host on Monday nights, it's Paul Kegel's show, is numerology, and I don't know much about it. And here I'm meeting you that day, the day before, and you are a numerologist. That's correct, right, John?
That is correct.
Yeah, so that was crazy synchronicity. So explain to the listeners exactly what numerology is.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be long, just a basic idea. And then I want to ask you about your philosophy, which is, I think I'm pronouncing it wrong, but you will correct me, Taoism, is that right?
Taoism.
All right, well, we're going to...
T-A-O-I-S-M, yeah.
Okay, we'll talk about that in a minute. But again, like briefly, what is numerology?
Numerology is based on numbers, and it's based on our birth date, the day that we were born, the day, the month, the year. And it also includes our name. We convert the letters in our name to numbers also. Numerology has been around for a long, long time, and I think it's Pythagoras who gets the credit for sort of reestablishing numerology, because it was known widely before his time, so he had access to a lot of ancient material that we don't have access today, and in the West, typically that is what we practice, is Pythagorean numerology. And again, numerology is based on numbers, and it goes under the assumption that every number has its own unique vibration. And you and I talked about this the other day. And one way to look at numerology is, if you look at light, and you look at the different colors of light, green light has a different frequency than red light, and blue light has a different frequency. So all the colors of light have their own frequencies.
How is that, John? That doesn't really make sense to me.
That all colors of light have their own frequency?
Professor, do you understand that?
Yeah, it's just each photon, when it's released from the electron, it depends on how much energy that photon has. And the photon will, when it strikes another electron, yes, I do.
Okay, but I don't.
It's not something you can easily explain.
You're good at explaining everything. Come on.
It's true. It's true.
How do different colors have a different frequency, though? Is it how we register them, how we react to them?
No, it's... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
No, it's that when the photon strikes another, say, material that's... Say, a red. When that photon comes and it hits the material, that dye, the atoms in that dye, the electrons are in a very calm state, but when that photon hits it, it releases that electron, And that causes another photon to be shot off. And it's that energy, that frequency that we perceive as light. So in that case, if it's a green material, when light strikes it, it causes another piece of energy to be released back toward us. It's that particular frequency of, I think I said green, so green material. So it each color has its own particular energy wavelength.
Well, how does that work then with a blue jay? When I've read over and over again, its feathers are not really blue. It's just how the light reflects the feather. How does that make sense?
I'm not sure about that one. I'd have to look at
Do you understand why I'm completely confused? I don't mean to obsess over this, but okay, maybe let's just move on. I don't really get that, but okay. So we were talking about vibrations, and colors have different vibrations.
So getting back to the colors of light just a little bit more. We see energy, and the way we see energy is we see light. That's the energy that we see. We use our ears to hear energy. We're hearing vibration. We typically can't see that vibration, but it's still a vibration. Light is also a vibration. So in our world, in our sensory world, there are certain things that we use our eyes to sense, and there are certain things that we use our ears to sense. We're still sensing vibration. Now, when you look at light, there is only a range of frequencies that we can actually see with the human eye. There are frequencies that get really low, so the lower range of frequencies are in the red hues, and if you could get really lower, deeper than that, we wouldn't be able to see them. It doesn't mean that they don't exist. We just can't see them with our eyes. And the same thing, you can get very high frequencies. You can get up into the ultraviolet scale. We can't see beyond that, but they still exist.
Okay.
So really we're just picking up with our eyes a range of energy, as we do with our ears. We have a range that we can hear.
Okay, well said. Thank you.
Does that help you?
That helped. Thank you. I hope it helped our listeners. So let's, the numerology. You are a numerologist, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did you get inspired to even begin your journey in numerology?
Wow, that's kind of a long story. Let me give you the short version. I've been involved in sort of the spiritual aspect of life for probably the last 20 years. So, and I just kind of fell into it. I was curious about it. I was at a point in my life where I didn't have a lot of things going on. So I learned how to meditate, and I just got curious. So I started reading everything that I could read about it. And there's a lot of information about spirituality and different kinds of meditation techniques. So as I started to go through it, I just kind of found my path. And one of the natural outgrowths of that for me was I just kind of got interested in numerology. I wanted to know what it was about and if it actually worked or not, and that's why I started to study it, because I was just curious.
So you were reading about, so numerology came up during your spiritual path, or you met other numerologists, or?
No, I mean, I think I've always been aware of numerology. I think when you talk to most people, I think they've heard of it, and they sort of have an idea of what it is. So, you know, I think I always was aware of it, and I don't know, for whatever reason, one day, I just took it upon myself to get interested and know more about it. I really wanted to know how they predict and what grounds they use, what basis, how did all of this come about?
Perfect.
So that was where I started.
Perfect. That's a perfect segue into how we're going to start to explain what you do with your charts, okay?
Okay.
So how does that work? I want, what do you call it, a numerology chart done?
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
So how does it work?
Okay, now, before I go down this road, there is a lot of information out there about numerology. There are a lot of books that have been written. There are a lot of websites that you can pay money to learn numerology. And what I found was, in my research, was that there was some older texts that were written, that were really into the depths of numerology, and these were typically written by people that had been doing it for a long time. So these are people that got their education or their knowledge or studied numerology, you know, in the 30s and the 40s. So they had access to information that isn't really readily available today. Now, there have been people since then that have taken the study of numerology forward, and they have also written books. There are people that have read these books, and they went ahead and wanted to write more books. Well, the problem is you start to get into copyright issues. So people had to take somebody's numerology or a combination of concepts and make it their own, so they had to put their own spin on it so they didn't get sued. So today you'll see a lot of shortcuts out there. You'll see books written by people that say, well, you don't have to do the whole chart. You only need to focus on this part of it, and it tells you everything you need to know.
That's interesting, John, because Robbie was saying earlier he can't find a lot of numerologists when he Googles it. Why is that?
Oh, I don't know. It's kind of weird. I think it's sort of like numerologists and psychics and tarot card readers. They're kind of, a lot of those guys don't advertise on the internet. They're kind of more of a spiritual connection to people as opposed to a digital connection.
Okay. All right, so keep going.
That's my only answer.
That's interesting.
I really
it's
don't
interesting.
Advertise.
I do, but see, but what I guess another thing is, like, I've come across so many psychics and tarot card readers, and never a numerologist. I mean, including Facebook, which is obviously a huge networking tool. Never a numerologist. In fact, I didn't even know you. I didn't even know you considered yourself a numerologist. So. This is great.
Yeah, interesting.
I didn't even ask you because it was so rare. I just thought you were into it.
Yeah.
So, trying to tell the listeners is you can get a hold of John. John, where can people get a hold of you to get their charts done?
Oh, they can email me or they can call me. The email's probably the best way to get a hold of me.
And what is your email?
And my email address is my first and last name. My first name is John, J-O-H-N. And my last name is M as in Mary, A-C-C-A-R-I, and that's at gmail.com.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so let's continue.
Okay, so...
Now that I lost your train of thought, sorry. Where were we, guys?
Robbie never found anything numerology related on Google search.
Yeah, but I think we were talking about, I asked you how you got into numerology in the first place, and you said you were going down a spiritual path, and you got interested in it. And we'll get into what that spiritual path was after we talk about numerology a little bit more, because I still can't pronounce it. Taoism?
Taoism?
Yeah, is interesting as well.
It starts with a T, but it actually sounds like a D when you say it.
That's what I said to the professor, but he thought it was a different philosophy, correct? Where did
You have that. No, yeah, I thought it was Taoism, but I wasn't sure because we didn't talk about how it was spelled.
Well, how do the Chinese pronounce it?
Tao. That's why it doesn't. That's why it has a T, but it sounds like a D.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like a combination of a T and a D.
All right, so you're going down your spiritual path, you start reading about numerology, and you're thinking it makes sense because you're reading that the infamous Pythagoras created it?
It wasn't him as much as just the concept of numbers having their own specific vibration. And, that ties in with my belief that... the day we were born and the name that we have are not accidents or coincidences. This is our plan. We set all of this up in advance.
That is if you believe in reincarnation, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Right. Susan, how do you feel about reincarnation? Do you believe that? Or do you think it's one and done?
Oh my God, the professor knows I'm on the fence with this, but it's I'm afraid of reincarnation. I don't want to come back, so maybe that's half the problem there.
You'd prefer to die and go to hell forever?
Who said I'm going to hell? Thank you.
But no, that's the question. Do you want to be judged on one lifetime, or do you want to have
I'm not saying I have the perfect life, but compared to the hell other people go through, I mean, it's pretty scary to think. And we can get into this big time again, as we did when we met. Because again, I will say it again, if reincarnation exists, why would somebody choose to come into this life and be brutally murdered and raped? Okay, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, that's always the question I get.
I think the problem with that is that there's many people reincarnated at once, and there's no way that it could be controlled. I mean, come on.
Well, I mean, the same premise could say, why would an omnipotent God put you on Earth to be raped and brutally murdered? I mean, what good is that?
How exactly?
But we talked about that before, and I came to the conclusion that there was probably a lesson that another entity needed to learn by your sacrifice.
Well, I could agree with that, but I don't see why a single omnipotent God would punish me so severely here on Earth for being born.
I don't think gods are all perfect, but I'd really like to find out how we can combine mathematics with anything metaphysical.
That's pretty awesome.
I just find mathematics being combined with metaphysical abilities a phenomenon in itself.
Okay. John?
Are you guys familiar with I can't even say his name correctly, Dunbalo Melchizedek? Any of his work?
No.
Okay, he is actually a physicist, and he wrote a couple of really good books that combine math with and metaphysics, and he ties it all into life, and there's the golden ratio.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's Pythagoras.
Okay, yes, Pythagoras does talk about that, but yeah, so the golden ratio is found in all life on the planet. And we'll have to ask the professor to explain that one, because I'm not the best.
Well, I think we could use math to define anything if we really, really wanted to. I think any mathematician could divide things down so definely that eventually it means something, right?
Mm-hmm.
We could equate any mathematical equation to equal a hat if we really wanted to. So that's why I posed the question. On a mechanical basis, it seems impossible for anything mathematical to be metaphysical.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Think, John?
Well, okay. Well, let me take a step back. When we look at numerology, we identify numbers, and again, this is based on the system I use. There are other systems that look at more numbers than I'm going to talk about, because a lot of people get into a lot of master numbers. My system is very simple.
Well, what do you mean by master numbers?
A master number is some of the master numbers are like 10, 11, 22. Those are the three master numbers that I use, and the reason why they're master numbers is because we don't reduce those numbers. We don't reduce 10 to 1. We don't reduce 22 to 4. We don't reduce 11 to 2. There are other numbers out there, other double numbers like 22, 33, 66, 99, that some people will call master numbers, but I don't really look at it as a master number. A double number does create a different emphasis, but I don't call it a master number. But getting back to the numbers, each and every number has its own sort of meaning.
Okay, does that mean one through zero has its own meaning, or one through infinity?
Well, no, it's the numbers that I talked about, 1 through 9,
okay,
11, 10, 11, and 22. Those numbers have their very own meaning, very separate.
John, are you? I'm sorry, are you hearing an echo? There's a huge echo right now. Earl's, sorry, listeners.
Earl's got something going on in his house. It's a party. It's a numerical.
Now, John and I are echoing.
I don't hear the echo.
No, I'm good. It stopped now. It stopped.
Okay. I guess the professor left our fabulous studio for a minute. All right. So let's talk about what John was saying.
Numbers 1 through 9.
Because we don't get into a lot in this. So.
It's really hard. John's system is really defined and broken down into some huge definitions.
Let's not get into other people's systems. Let's focus on John's. So, John, let's hear about your system.
Okay. So, somewhere along the way, and don't ask me who did this because actually Pythagoras doesn't even take responsibility for this. Somewhere along the way, somebody figured out what the energy of each number means.
Yeah.
So...
So we're relying on somebody's speculation.
Wasn't that Pythagoras, though?
Pythagoras was a mathematician, which is now considered a pseudo-mathematician.
Right.
Go ahead.
Pythagoras is the guy that actually found the ancient text and pursued it. So this information goes back well beyond Pythagoras.
I think it's good to use his name to verify the strength of... Maybe the commitment, how can we use this? When we talk about paganism as a religion, it goes back so far. There's so much history to it that it's that much more strong and verifiable. I think we can do the same thing with Pythagoras, as far as numerology goes.
Okay.
And the way I look at this, when we talk about Pythagoras and who came up with this information about numbers, you know, we can also do the same thing when you read the stuff that Lao Tzu wrote, and Lao Tzu existed, B.C., and Lao Tzu talked about the ancients and how wise the ancients were. Who was he referring to?
Mm.
I mean, when we refer to ancient wisdom, we refer back to Lao Tzu. He was referring back to somebody else. And the same thing in yoga. You find it, when you read the philosophy of yoga, they start referring back to some ancient guys, and when you read what those guys wrote, they're referring back to guys that were more ancient than they are. So, there was some ancient wisdom here at some point. And one of the ways to look at that is there's a theory out there that says when you look at the relationship of our sun, and obviously our planets, we follow our sun. Our sun rotates around the center of the universe. It takes it a very long time to make a complete revolution. It takes it hundreds of thousands of light years. Now, our sun not only rotates around the center of the universe, but if you look at the universe from the side and draw a line through the center, our sun goes above the line and below the line. So it's not moving in a straight line. It's moving in a pattern, like a wave. It goes up and down, up and down. Our sun is above the line for 12,000 years, and it's below the line for 12,000 years. Now, recently, I think last November, October, November, we crossed the line and just came above the line. Well, the theory is when our sun is above the line is when we become enlightened and open and we become wise. And when the sun drops below the line, humanity sort of goes to sleep. So, for the last 12,000 years, humanity's been asleep. All the books that we read today were written during our sleep time. So we weren't open. We weren't open to spirituality. We weren't open to fantastic concepts like that.
Don't tell me 2012, it's above the line. The spiritual awakening that's going on?
We're above the line now, and we will remain above the line for the next 12,000 years. Now, we will continue to climb up until we hit the peak, and then we'll start to move back down. So we're sort of waking up now. We'll be wide awake in about 6,000 years. And then at about 8,000, 9,000 years, we're going to start to get sleepy, and we're going to start to get lazy, and then we're going to go back to sleep again. Now, the theory is every time we hit that peak, that 6,000-year peak above the line, we can draw upon ancient wisdom, and we can add to the wisdom, so we actually become more wise each time we hit that peak. But in the in-between periods, not so much. So the theory is, see, where are we now? If we're here, and we were 12,000. The theory is 18,000 years ago, there were people that were much wiser than we are today. So when we talk about how did we get this information about what each number means, that's where that information came from. Those were the people that figured that out.
Now, does this have anything to do with extraterrestrials? And I'm not being funny.
Have you guys read any of Zachariah Sitchin's work?
I've heard of him. I haven't read his stuff.
He has a lot of information out there that talks about, and he's not the only one. I mean, there are a lot of people that do this now, and they talk about how our current religion and our current thoughts were actually influenced by extraterrestrials. So to answer your question, the wisdom that we're talking about is not necessarily extraterrestrial wisdom. It is mankind wisdom. But, I think the bigger question is, have we been influenced along the way?
There's questions in the chat room about pertaining to the beginnings, the beginning of time, and how does that fit
into
this?
I didn't even explain to John that we have a chat room. Tenacity has a chat room, John, and there are listeners in there. Thank you for coming in chat. A lot of times people don't come in a chat, and there are a lot of people in here listening to you, John. And there are some people that are writing questions in the chat room. And they have some great questions for you. So go ahead, Robbie.
Well, the last couple of questions have been centered around this, as time began, how does numerology fit into that sequence? I can see that being a perplexing question from the question giver, and how do you give an answer to that? I really do believe that, the numerology thing has come into existence simply as an, just like religion, we needed an answer for something, and it happens to fit.
Science says the universe is run by mathematics. So this is why people pay attention to numerology, correct?
Wait a minute now. We can assume some things in the planets by using mathematics, but we cannot say anything is definite from the past or future or anything by mathematics. There's no way.
I don't know if everyone would agree with that statement.
Well, the one thing that I think that we're starting to learn now is that the current method of thinking, the current method of mathematics, gives us one way to look at the universe, but there's a lot of theory out there now, and there's a lot of statements that are saying that the mathematics isn't absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will be adjusting that information. So, there's technologies out there now that we're looking at that we didn't think was possible, but we had to change some of the mathematics.
That seems weird.
Wait, what was he going to say?
Some of the mathematics to actually fit what we're seeing.
But that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Well, wait. Peter, I want this question. He's been really into what we're talking about here, going back and forth. What was the entire question he asked?
Let me go back here a little bit. I'll scroll back. Please don't say anything in the chat room. So in the beginning, when it was just rocks and dust, there wasn't thousands of rocks and billions of dust particles. There just were dust particles. He's trying to say, how does this fit in? How do you become numerology oriented if this is your basis, the beginning of time being dust and rocks? I mean, it began somewhere.
I don't understand that question, Peter. Actually. Wait, let's let Professor say something here.
Well,
sorry.
Just to defend the whole concept, the idea of time comes with the unfolding of consciousness. So what was before consciousness doesn't matter. It's the consciousness creating the time. I mean, time doesn't exist without us to perceive it. So that would be my numerology ties in because it came about with the advent of a consciousness to observe the universe. Before that, it doesn't matter.
That seems so hard to understand and swallow. I mean, are you saying that the minute that time existed, that somebody was able to say number one means this time right now?
Well, time doesn't exist. That's the one thing Einstein was able to prove with his general theory of relativity, is that it exists for the observer only. So everybody's perception of time is different.
So are you saying that
the faster I move toward the speed of light, the slower my perception of time becomes, and the slower I actually age? So it depends on where you are, how fast you're moving. You know, time is relative to the observer.
So what you're saying is that a numerologist is telling me what is.
Well, this kind of goes back to what we were saying earlier. In a reductionist, and we've become reductionists. Our society is a reductionist society.
Certainly.
Which means that we try to break everything down to its very smallest component part. And that can be done through numbers. But that's where mathematics stops. It stops at the quantum level. I can't through numbers anymore derive what's going to happen at a quantum level. That's again where numerology could mean consciousness would be at that level, where everything springs to existence. You're talking some crazy out there.
Exactly.
I'm not crazy. I'm sorry.
I'd like to say that we have stumbled across.
Hold on. What?
It's just this is stuff that's pretty out there, hard to grasp, but it makes sense in an intrinsic way.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think everything you said is correct, and I would just add that I think, Susan, I think you said this, or somebody else said this along the way, that our universe, has to have unfolded in a very specific way for human life to live on this planet.
A specific way?
Specific way.
Let's just let him finish.
I think it was Planck that figured out the universal constant, and if the universal constant wasn't that particular number, then we wouldn't be able to exist, because universal constant talks about how much carbon was in the universe and nitrogen, and it looks at the makeup of the universe. So if that constant was different, human life wouldn't exist the way it does today. So you could say, well, is that a coincidence, or is it an accident, or was that some kind of divine plan that was set up?
That's fascinating. I really like the concepts of numerology, and I love the way it smoothly and I have to explain that you can really there's a difference between a free reading that you get online and a reading that is 13 pages long. There's a huge difference in the way you do.
There is, but I'm going to read the free reading I got online. I'm going to read part of it before we end the show, which kind of will blow John away too,
right?
Because John knows a little bit about me.
Right. There's some huge defined lines that need to be talked about here. What John is talking about is like serious breakdown of all things with numbers. I mean, you're using numbers, constantly breaking them down and dividing and subtracting and breaking numbers down constantly to get to a specific area where there are some that you don't have to get so technical with. And we are talking about some pretty specific and really detailed mathematic equations to get to these equations, you know.
It's 9:33, and I'm not going to take a break tonight because our break is going to be calling Peter, because I appreciate the fact that he wants to call in and join in this conversation. Unfortunately, Peter, I can only have you on for 3 or 4 minutes, so I hope that'll do.
Yeah,
so let's call him in.
Why don't you go ahead and talk, and let me try to do that. I'll try to connect. This is something I haven't done, but I will try to do this. Let me see what I can do here. I don't want to. Are you guys still there?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, let me see what happens here when I enter.
You can, because I've done it.
Yeah, can I just ask a question real quick?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm just kind of wondering, with you utilizing, say, birth dates and things like that, we all share, we got one in 365, 0.25 chance of having the same birthday. How many different determining factors and the different numbers do you use to help kind of put together a whole picture of the person. Now, I guess, you know, if you use 10 and you have all these different factors, it becomes, you know, very, very, you know, unlikely that two people will have the same reading. But if you only use a couple and they only have a couple of different, you know, choices in between those, you could end up with maybe 50 variations. So how many things do you look at in order to determine somebody's personality?
You know, that is a great question, and that's one of my that's one of the biggest challenges is putting it's like being a detective or putting a puzzle together. It's the puzzle of you, and just to give you an idea, this is what I look at. I look at your actual birth date, which includes the month, day, and the year. So that's the first thing I looked at, because that's what that's where we are fundamentally. That's what drives us. The second thing I look at is a combination of numbers. It's a mathematical calculation you go through, and that creates your rolling number. And your rolling number is very specific to an individual. But when you look up the rolling number, it's going to give me a general information about you. So I have to take your rolling number, and I also have to look at your birth chart that I created from your birth date to start to put together who you are. Now, on top of that, the other thing that I have to look at, and I'm not an astrologist, but I have to look at your sun sign, because that brings in some other personality traits.
Are they connected, yeah. John? Astrology and numerology?
Yes, they are.
Okay, sorry.
I look at your sun sign, and then below the sun sign, I drop down, and now we're getting into the more subtle aspects of you as an individual. I do another chart for your name. I convert your name into numbers, and I do a name chart for you. And let me see.
And this takes like 10 days, right?
Oh, my God. It takes me a long time. And, okay, and here's the other aspect of it. The other aspect is some people get into numerology because they're numbers people. I got into numerology because I'm somewhat intuitive and I'm somewhat psychic. So I got into it from a more of a spiritual or a metaphysical aspect. So I thought the math was kind of cool, but I never really went in and pursued the math aspect of it. I just accepted that the calculations are correct. I mean, I understood what they did behind it. It's weird how they came up with some of the math, and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go with it. So I accepted that aspect of it, and so as I'm going through somebody's numerology, I also try to connect with them on an energetic level.
An energetic meaning an empathic level?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And some would say I'm cheating when I do that. But
do you think that all of us have psychic... Wait, first, I'm sorry. Robbie, are we going to be able to connect with Peter?
I can try right now. Here we go.
We might be asking you back, John, for part two.
That was fun.
We'll say. Hold on. Peter.
Yes.
Hey, thanks for joining the conversation. I'm sorry, I can only limit it to like 3 minutes.
Okay, so, I just got one general question.
Okay, go ahead.
Am I on air?
No.
Yes, you are.
All right. How can numbers govern humanity or humankind when humans create numbers? Or as Andrea pointed out, maybe ETs.
Maybe
if someone created numbers, how can they govern the way we exist?
Okay.
And you guys kind of dabbled in the question that I... questions and answers that came.
Well, I'm
that.
Confused because scientists are always insisting that the universe is governed by numbers. And, you know, I'm not into reading.
Well, there's a bunch of theories about that, actually. The chaos theory and the other one. I prefer the chaos theory.
What's the chaos theory?
That everything is just a random string of coincidences.
Hmm. But, you know, it's interesting because there's another theory that says if you look at chaos, you can always find a pattern. So is it chaos? And if you can't find a pattern, you got to step back and look at a bigger piece of it. And eventually you'll
that
see a pattern.
Very indicative of it.
But that's
of,
what.
Wait. What's Peter saying?
That seems very vindictive of the definition of chaos.
Yeah, we can take any.
I appreciate. We need this perspective. And I don't, Peter, I don't want you to think that we're all sitting here like, oh, numbers are the answer to the everything.
Well, I'm not. Don't take me wrong. I'm not about that.
Okay. It's an open dialogue. That's why I appreciate your perspective on this. All right, I'm assuming you're an atheist.
No.
You are a skeptic?
Nope. I definitely believe there's a higher power.
I've seen you in the chat room before on other shows and my show, so I thought maybe you were.
See, I can address a couple of those questions.
Go right ahead.
Well, first, mathematicians will tell you that the numbers were there to be discovered, that they weren't created by humans
I need to make this statement. I'm having a hard time that Peter said that he is not an atheist. He's talking about random coincidences.
Well, right? I'm sure you can call me later about that.
But you're talking about random coincidences. You're leaning towards that.
Yeah.
So,
but like, how can numbers exist?
No,
but according to Christians, God has a lot to do with the path of your life. It's not coincidental.
Correct? I'm not a Christian.
Yeah, and I really don't think that Peter's...
Okay, well, do you mind if I ask what you are?
Spiritual religious.
Okay, now I am. Okay, thank you for that. Okay, I'm sorry, Professor. Wait, I'm sorry. I cut Professor off and he was talking.
Well, it's okay. But when we're looking at... The concept of a number for us is, we have to look deeper than to say we discovered that if we hold one finger up, that's one. If we hold two up, that's two. Because as mathematicians will tell you, the more they put on a piece of paper, that those same numbers, they can begin to unravel the fabric of the universe. That those numbers exist almost as Aristotle would say, on a plane that's higher than our existence, that they're a pure form of something else, that these people, men and women, can take these numbers that we have, and they can tell you how black holes behave, and they can tell you how the fabric of reality starts to unfold and create things, and they can tell you just an amazing amount of things about our universe and where we live without ever experiencing those things, and then they can go back and prove them later on. So the idea that numbers exist outside of us is a mathematician will tell you that's an absolute fact. That these things, these equations, these numbers exist.
Okay, that's interesting. Peter, what do you say about that?
That's just a way to prove that something is, the way that something is acting. Not a way. Oh my gosh!
Yeah, we could break anything down to a numeric.
I'm sorry.
The black hole existed before numbers, but that doesn't mean the numbers are going to explain it. Sure. It all goes back to the thing that I said before. You know, like now I'm scrolling through the. The chat room trying to remember.
I don't know that we are trying to predict anything with numbers so much as we are trying to elaborate what we are.
Here's what I said in the chat room that explains what I'm talking about. I was like, so in the beginning, when it was just rocks and dust, there wasn't thousands of rocks and billions of dust particles. They just were. There was nobody there to count them or to calculate them. Calculate how a black hole was moving and whatnot. Right. They just were.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think numerology is set out to make any kind of plan for us. I don't think that's what it is all about. It's more or less your name and your structure of you can be evaluated and predicted and somewhat with some number. Evaluations, you know, some
equations.
Yeah, but
I'm fascinated with what you just said, the fact that it is numbers, you know, that's what, we're going to try and get John to talk about this when he did my chart. And I did some simple chart on the internet, like I thought would be simple, but actually it was not simple. And I mean, I sit here doing this show, and real quick, John, I'm going to let you speak in a minute. This is what it said to me. This, I type in my birth date on the internet, and it's saying to me, you're a born seeker, you're attracted to all things mystical, your goal is devoted to investigating the unknown and to finding answers to the mysteries of life. Now, that's crazy to me, because that describes me.
But Susan, I have to say, I bet you could take a couple of those numbers and just tweak them a little bit just as an experiment, and you will find some similar facts that are just as easily applied to you. There are some things about this just like reading tarot, you know, reading palms. There's all of this stuff, and I have to say, numerology is now much more classified as a divination process than it is a mathematical ultimate equation to the ways of life.
I wanted to ask John about that. So let's, like, Peter, did you have another question before we let you go?
Yeah. Have you ever heard about those people who, like, take newspapers, you know, just regular articles, and make them seem like there's some important message, like the assassination of a president or something? Hmm. I can't help but feel it's very similar to that.
Well, numerology has been around a lot longer than any paper.
Peter, if you don't mind, real quick, would you mind giving me your full birth date?
What was that?
would you be willing to give me your full birth date?
Yes. 5/4/89.
What?
I don't know why I knew he was in May. That's crazy.
89? He's like 3 years old.
He's my
son. I know, he's a youngster.
Okay, he's five.
Blah, blah, blah. Everybody
That's
always
even better.
Young.
I appreciate you calling in, Peter.
No doubt.
It caught my interest.
5/4/89?
Yes.
I would also predict, Peter, that within 20 years, we overturn chaos theory because we realize that there is interrelationships that we absolutely cannot perceive, but that exist above and beyond what we believe. And that's David Baum. Probably the second greatest physicist.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for saying that, because he's one of my heroes.
I don't like to think that anything I do is already predetermined.
That's great. That's a good statement.
But
if we're talking about reincarnation, though, then I think that it is predetermined for you to come back here. Do you believe in reincarnation?
I do, to a degree, actually. I don't see why you can't go to heaven and choose to come back. I actually got kicked out of a Catholic church because of that.
Is reincarnation about choosing, or is it just that because you didn't learn, you got to come back?
I think that's more of a Eastern belief.
I think that the professor and John can answer that question.
Come on, spit it out there, Earl.
It's definitely an Eastern belief that you come back until you've cleansed your karma and reached ascension. Yeah, but I mean, it's easily applied to a Christian idea. I would question whether I'd go to heaven. If heaven's anywhere near what they tell me it's like, it's hard to believe I would choose to come back here, but I wouldn't see why you wouldn't be allowed to.
I wonder if we can pass gas in heaven.
Well, that's heaven, isn't it?
It would be, yes.
Okay, don't go there. John, are you doing? Are you still working on that?
I hear the numbers.
I think John left.
No, he's there. He's crunching numbers. I can hear him.
I am here. You know, it's interesting when you talk about reincarnation, because you bring up some valid points, and one of the things that is consistent reincarnation is it sort of takes a focus off of a Christian God. It takes a focus off of heaven. And it talks more just about the evolution of the soul, and that the soul is trying to achieve perfection.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, I like that.
There's a theory out there that says that, and this is going to sort of speak to Peter's question of why we are. There's a theory that says that
there was a consciousness. And all that existed was this consciousness. And this consciousness wanted to have experiences. So it started creating within itself experiences that it could have. And it created all kinds of experiences, life and death experiences. But the problem was, it knew, it was always aware of itself, so it always knew that even though it was going through these experiences, that it was never in trouble. So this consciousness split part of itself off. And that part of the consciousness, it gave amnesia. And then that part of the consciousness, again, started to split off into many, many pieces. Though all of those pieces are to have certain experiences. And once they've achieved that quota of experiences, they go back to the original consciousness with all of these experiences. So you can have a life or death experience, but truly have the experience of life or death without knowing what else is beyond that. That's a whole different experience than the knowing that if I die, I'm going to come back in 100 years or 20 years or
but
whatever.
Where, John, where is this energy in between deciding you want to come back as a human? And why a human? Are you coming back as a squirrel as well? Like, what? This is where I get really confused.
It's a freaking Robin Williams movie.
The World According to Garth.
What Dreams May Come?
I didn't see it.
I didn't see it either.
Watch it. It's a really good movie.
Peter didn't and see who said that. Is that my third co-host, Peter? Is he great. Still there? I have to look on screen.
I did. That happens. That's a great and a fantastic movie.
And it explains a lot about what I'm talking about. So coming back from heaven for any particular reason that you want. I don't see why a higher power would have
heaven.
Any...
From heaven? How do they depict heaven in the movie? Like,
because they're
you
Christian.
Have to understand, I can't imagine a heaven or a hell. Like, that...
You just... gotta be Christian. They're appealing to the
okay,
Christians.
Well, heaven, I use that in a very general term, but an existence afterlife.
Is this John or Peter talking?
Okay. Look at Skype,
Peter.
You'll see. Skype will show you.
I have too many things opened up here.
Oh, for the love of...
Go ahead, whoever was talking.
I use the term heaven in a very general sense. I really mean a place to exist after life.
Okay, well that, see, but you have to understand, okay, I'm agnostic, Robbie's agnostic, Earl leans towards Buddhism, so when you even mention heaven, we are thinking heaven, hell, Christian. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I appreciate you saying that.
So where does numerology fit into heaven and hell?
Well, wait a second. I want him to finish, and we're going to get back to John.
Oh, I'm pretty much done.
Okay. So you're just saying that you're calling that dimension heaven.
Me?
Yeah.
No.
But see,
I don't. I think everybody in the world is right with their religion. I would not just. I don't just. It seems wrong to just stick to one religious term.
John, what do you call that dimension?
Which dimension is that? The dimension
when,
of heaven.
Remember when we spoke and we talked about when we die, and I said I believe there's a life force energy. Let's just say it makes sense to me that when our physical body dies, the life force energy does go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? And then you talked about reincarnation. Where is this, what do you call this place that life force energy goes to?
Yeah.
Or does it just transmit into a flower? Or what does it do? What do you think it does?
I don't actually have a name for it.
Why do we need one?
It's sort of the opposite of where you are now. I mean,
well,
it's
we
like,
need one, Peter, because if there's reincarnation and we're all chatting about, oh, I'm going to come back as blah, blah, blah because I messed up here, this is where I'm going with it.
Our first problem
John, what do you call that? Or don't do? Am I making sense to anybody?
No, you're making a lot of sense, babe. I mean, Susan, the problem is we all, each and every one of us listening right now, demand an explanation to what we're trying to get to. And that's the problem. We all have different beliefs. We all have a different perspective.
No, I'm not demanding an answer. Well,
but we do.
Dialogue. I want to hear perspectives, and I'm asking John what he thinks, what he calls, where, if this force goes somewhere, where does it go?
It's usually just referred to as the in-between lifetimes place. I mean, it's not really, you're looking for a physical place like
No, I'm not. I'm not. I didn't mean to say that. I'm not looking for a physical place.
But you can look at it as a different dimension. I mean, we are in an energetic form at that point.
I like that.
So are we
a vibration at that point? Are we a number? Like what?
We're vibration. Well, we're vibration, but vibrations are numbers. They're frequencies.
So we
do end up being numbers, but...
So we are a number.
That's really interesting, but go ahead, Professor.
Yes. I'm sorry. I just have to interject something real fast. This is going back to numbers because it just popped into my head, but when we talk about numbers existing before humans existed, take it, for example, a quick example. If we were to create a world, a virtual world inside a computer, and this should be well within our abilities within about 25 years with our computing power, the way it's increasing. But if we were to create a virtual world and we were to set all the parameters and begin that world or universe on a trajectory toward evolution, and we were to just sit back and watch it evolve, the beings that evolved and grew in that world would have no understanding of numbers when they first became. But as they grew and evolved and they understood and they'd learned number systems, they could start to break our computer program down as they became more evolved and more evolved until the point where they started to see our programming within their world. And they would say the same thing that we're saying about numbers. Well, those numbers didn't exist before we evolved to the point of being able to understand them. But that's not true. Those numbers were used to create the world in which they exist.
Okay.
Earl, you're so passionate, man.
We weren't created by a computer program, as far as I know, I guess. But,
Peter, do you want to come back? We're not on next week. We're every other week.
Every other week now,
because like I said in the chat room, my time management skills are horrible because I work now.
Definitely.
Yeah, if John, I'm going to talk to John when we get off air. Hopefully he'll join us again because John did do my chart, which I really appreciate.
He did Peter's too.
Which was spot on. No, John's charts take a really, really long time. I think he's going to...
Well, he did the quick.
He did a little bit of Peter's. I don't think he even finished it. Did you, John?
Well, just briefly, real quick, I looked at Peter's. His ruling number is a 9. He has 2 9s in his birth chart, and he has the strength of determination. He's got a very interesting chart. The 9 is the most powerful. Well, the 9 is the most powerful number that we can have, and the 9 is associated with right brain thinking, so it's associated with spiritual type concepts, where our left brain thinking is about, you know, logic and about mathematics and that type of thing. Right brain gets into more abstract ideas, so I understand where he's coming from. Having 2 9s in his birth chart can make him want to live in that world more than sort of the physical world. And he probably spends a lot of time in his head thinking about this stuff. But because he has a 4 in his chart, he is pretty grounded, which is interesting.
Well, he's young enough to be grounded.
Well, he's very grounded. He's young.
He's grounded to his room.
He also has a 5, which gives him a connection to his spiritual center. I'm not sure that he actually is making that connection all the time, but with a little bit of work, he could do that. He has an 8 in his chart, which is sits on the spiritual plane, and 8 is about wisdom, and the eight is usually about wisdom that we brought with us. We can also add to that, but
8 is about like an ancient kind of wisdom.
Time.
He has a 1, which is an entrance into the physical plane, in the physical plane. But having 1-1, he's going to have trouble expressing himself, his emotions, his feelings to the outside world.
Dude, okay, awesome. Is that over? Because we our time's up.
Perfect.
If not,
timing,
okay, perfect.
Bye-bye.
All right, thanks, Peter. We'll get back in. We'll get back in touch with you next show.
Stay online.
Okay. Nice talking to you.
Stay online, everybody.
All right. Thank you, John. I'm going to talk to you in a minute about coming back on. So, everybody, thank you for listening. Thank you for participating in chat. I really appreciate it. Stay tuned for SF Talk Radio here on Tenacity Radio. Real entertainment, no excuses. Enjoy your evening.